Right now, there is a simple command line tool that didn't even exist 13 months ago. And it is quietly writing 4% of all the public code on GitHub.
Which is just a massive number when you really think about
It's
it.
completely wild. Welcome to the deep dive, by the way. Today, we are exploring a profound shift happening in technology for you, the listener. We're trying to cut through the noise and look at the exact moment AI goes from being, a really smart oracle that answers your
Right,
questions.
like search engine.
Exactly. From that to an autonomous entity that just executes complex workflows entirely on its own.
And going back to that 4% statistic, it's even more staggering when you realize GitHub has tens of millions of active developers.
Yeah.
So a single tool, Claude Code, is producing this very noticeable fraction of the world's open source software.
It's hard to wrap your head around.
It really is. And to put the scale of this into perspective, NASA actually used Claude Code recently to plot the trajectory for the Perseverance Mars rover.
Wait, really? NASA?
Yeah. The engineering team was, they were so taken aback by the elegance of the solution that they actually printed posters of the generated code to hang in their offices.
That is
They
amazing.
literally called it just the coolest thing. And meanwhile, on the commercial side, data shows that 70% of startups have now shifted to using Claude as their primary development model.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because at its current trajectory, that 4% is projected to hit 20% by the end of the year.
One in five lines of code.
Right. One in five lines written by a single tool. So, to understand how one specific piece of software achieves such a massive footprint, we have to look at the underlying architecture.
Yeah, how it actually works.
Exactly. We're relying on some incredible grounding material for you today. We've got a detailed account from a practitioner using Claude Code Daily, insights from the tool's creator, Boris Cherny, and this pivotal semi-analysis report.
Yeah, the one that calls this the inflection point.
Yes. And they use an analogy in that report that I find incredibly helpful. They compare the transition we're in right now to the shift from Web 1.0 to Web 2.0.
It's honestly a perfect framework
Well.
because if you think back to the early days of the internet, Web 1.0 was just, well, it was entirely static.
Right, you just read pages.
Exactly. You clicked a hyperlink, a server got the request, and it sent back a static HTML page. It was all built on TCP/IP, which is just this raw commodity protocol for moving packets of data
Just some
around.
plumbing, basically.
Right, just plumbing. And the ChatGPT era, the AI we've been using for the last few years, it operates on that exact same Web 1.0 paradigm.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the API is essentially the TCP/IP of artificial intelligence. You send it a text prompt, it processes it, and it returns text.
So it's a static loop.
Right. It's powerful, obviously, but the interaction model is totally static. It's just a simple call and response.
So Claude Code represents the Web 2.0 of AI because it breaks that loop. It's not just sitting on a server waiting for you to type a prompt.
Correct. It takes that foundational AI model and wraps it in a dynamic harness.
A harness.
Yeah, and this harness fundamentally changes the AI's action space. So instead of just generating text, the harness lets the model actively read entire massive code bases.
Wow.
It allows the AI to come up with multi-step plans, invoke external tools, verify its own actions, and this is the big one, self-debug when things go wrong.
So it pulls it out of just answering questions and into actually completing tasks.
Exactly. Brain first, hand second.
Let's clarify the mechanics of that, though,
Maybe.
because, we've had automation in software for decades, right?
Oh, sure.
We have CI/CD pipelines that automatically compile code. We have robotic process automation where bots click buttons on a screen. How is this new harness actually different from that older stuff?
Well, the practitioner in our sources describes traditional automation as having hands without a brain.
Hands without a brain. Okay.
Yeah, because those older systems are basically just elaborate tripwires. A CI/CD pipeline runs on rigid, hard-coded rules. If A happens, do B. But if a software test fails, the whole pipeline just halts. It throws an error log and pages a human engineer to come fix it. It has zero reasoning capability.
It just freezes.
Exactly. But agentic AI operates on the exact inverse principle. Brain first, hand second. The model understands your ultimate goal, breaks it down into steps, plans a path, and then uses digital tools to execute.
So if it hits an obstacle, it doesn't just freeze.
Nope. If it hits a broken dependency or a failed test, it reads the error log, deduces why it failed, adjusts its plan, and tries a new workaround. entirely on its own.
That makes so much sense. It's like traditional AI is like having a brilliant librarian trapped behind a reference desk.
Oh, that's a great way to put it.
Right. You ask a complex question, they hand you the perfect book.
Right.
But they can't read the book for you, they can't synthesize the research, and they definitely can't write your essay.
Exactly.
But Claude Code is like hiring a genius intern, giving them their own keyboard, a corporate badge, and letting them make independent decisions.
A very fast intern.
Yeah. But here's my question. If the model is doing all this thinking and acting, how does it actually know how to use the tools we give it? Like, who taught it?
Well, to answer that, we really need to look at Boris Cherny's origin story for building this thing back in September 2024.
Okay.
So he was experimenting with the Anthropic API, specifically the Sonnet 3.5 model. Hmm. And he had written a really simple terminal chat program.
Just as a prototype.
Yeah, just trying things out. And following a basic example in the documentation, he gave the model a bash tool.
Which, just for context, a bash tool lets a program run command line instructions directly on your computer's operating system.
Yes. Extremely powerful.
That feels incredibly risky to just hand over to an AI.
Totally raw, unfettered access. So he gives the model this tool, and Boris just casually types a question into the chat. What music am I listening to?
Wait, let me guess. He didn't give it any instructions on how to check his audio?
None. Zero. Yeah. He didn't say query my Spotify or anything like that. He simply asked the question.
And what happened?
Once the model realized it had the bash tool, it figured out the entire execution chain completely autonomously.
Wow.
It wrote a custom Apple script, used the bash tool to execute it, took control of his Mac's background processes, queried the active music player, got the metadata, and literally returned the name of the song playing on his speakers.
That is, I mean, think about the mechanics of what just happened.
It's wild. As Boris said later, this model just wants to use tools.
Because it wasn't trained on a specific data set of how to find out what song Boris is playing in September 2024.
No, not at all.
It succeeded because it actually has a generalized world model of how operating systems work. It reasoned, okay, to get the song, I need to query macOS. I know AppleScript can do that. I know Bash can trigger AppleScript, so I'll write the script and run it.
Exactly. That cycle think, act, observe the result, act again. That is the absolute essence of an agentic model.
It bridges the intent and the tools on its own.
Right. Foundation models aren't just text completion machines anymore. They're reasoning engines.
Hmm.
The boundary isn't defined by the programmer's rules anymore. It's defined by the model's own judgment.
Okay, so knowing this AI is basically an autonomous brain with digital hands, we have to talk about where Anthropic decided to house it.
Oh, the interface, yeah.
Because their choice is honestly super counterintuitive. They didn't build a beautiful, shiny IDE plugin.
Nope.
They didn't build a sleek graphical interface with drag and drop buttons. They built a terminal CLI, a command line interface.
Just a black screen with plain text.
Right. And we have spent 40 years of computer history abstracting away the command line to make things user-friendly. So if this is the cutting edge of AI, isn't a terminal a massive step backward? Why abandon the GUI?
It definitely feels like a regression at first.
Yeah.
And initially, it was just born out of necessity.
Because Boris was working alone.
Exactly. A command line interface is super cheap and fast to build when you're a team of one. But as the team grew, they consciously chose to keep it in the terminal for a very specific strategic reason.
Which was?
The underlying AI model was improving so fast that they realized any graphical user interface they designed would be totally obsolete in 6 months.
Oh, wow. Because a GUI is fundamentally restrictive, right?
Exactly.
It's just a curated collection of buttons that represent the actions a developer thought you might want to take.
Right. But if the AI suddenly gains a totally new capability, you have to redesign the whole interface to add a button for it.
That makes total sense.
It's the limitation of scaffolding.
Yeah.
And furthermore, the terminal offers something a standard user interface just can't provide.
Which is what?
An unlimited action space.
Ah, okay.
Think about the sandboxed IDEs we use today, like Cursor or Copilot. In those environments, the human is sitting in a text editor writing code, and the AI is just trapped inside that little sandbox offering suggestions.
Right, like autocomplete on steroids.
Exactly. But a terminal gives the AI full, unfettered access to the host machine. It can read the entire file system, run shell commands, call cloud APIs, spin up local servers, and deploy services to the web.
It shifts the entire dynamic.
Completely. In an IDE, the human writes and the AI assists. In the terminal, the human describes the intent, and the AI executes.
It's like the difference between having a really advanced spell checker in Microsoft Word versus having a ghostwriter who can draft the manuscript, format it, drive to the post office, and mail it to the publisher for you.
That is exactly it. And this realization from Anthropic that UIs become technical debt because the AI outgrows them, it really exposes their core development philosophy.
Yeah, it seems to be the engine driving all this rapid evolution.
Anthropic operates on this internal mantra: don't build for today's model, build for the model 6 months from now.
Wow.
They're betting everything on exponential growth. Which makes sense, because Anthropic's co-founders wrote the original scaling laws paper in AI research.
Right. The paper that mathematically proved models get predictably smarter just by adding more compute and more data.
Exactly. Mm. Exponential growth isn't just a theory for them. It's a physical law.
And there's a fascinating detail about their office culture and the sources. They literally have a framed copy of this famous essay hanging on the wall.
Yes. The Bitter Lesson by Rich Sutton.
Can you explain that for the listener? What is The Bitter Lesson?
It's arguably one of the most important texts in modern AI. Sutton's core argument is that researchers constantly fall into the trap of trying to bake human intuition into AI.
Like hard coding rules.
Right. Developers love building complex, specialized workflows or intricate logic trees to squeeze, you know, 10 or 20% performance boost out of a model today.
Sure.
But Sutton's bitter lesson is that generalized search and learning, powered by massive compute, will always eventually beat specialized human-engineered scaffolding.
Because the second the next generation of the baseline model drops, its raw intelligence completely wipes out those incremental gains you spent months building.
Exactly. Your specialized workflow instantly becomes technical debt. You essentially bet against compute, and compute always wins.
Which perfectly explains why they refuse to over-engineer the user experience around Claude Code.
Right. Instead of building complex product features, they just let the underlying model's exponential growth do the heavy lifting.
But the reality of actually implementing that philosophy is mind-bending. According to the team, not a single line of Claude Code's code base is from 6 months ago.
Yeah, not one line.
The entire tool is constantly being rewritten. They throw out tools they don't need and iterate the core architecture every few weeks. How is that even sustainable? I mean, normally that kind of technical debt and context loss would cripple an engineering team.
Oh, totally. But they maintain stability because the product is literally building itself.
Building itself.
Yes. Boris Cherny actually uninstalled his integrated development environment entirely. He hasn't manually typed a line of syntax in months.
That is crazy.
Instead, he submits between 10 and 30 pull requests every single day using only Claude Code. And the rest of the team operates the exact same way.
Do we have examples of how fast they're moving?
We do. An internal tool called Cowork was built from scratch by four engineers in just 10 days. The code was written entirely by the agent.
10 days.
Yeah. And a major feature upgrade called Plan Mode was conceptualized and fully built in 30 minutes on a Sunday night, just while Boris was casually browsing GitHub issues.
It's a self-reinforcing loop. The AI is writing the architecture for the AI that writes the AI.
Exactly. And they're scaling this up using a technique called parallel agents.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, because they aren't confined to a graphical interface, if they hit a super complex software bug, they don't just ask one instance of the AI to fix it. They spin up to 10 independent agents simultaneously.
Wow.
And they give them what they call uncorrelated context windows.
Uncorrelated context windows, meaning they don't give all 10 agents the exact same starting information.
Right. Because if they did, all 10 might get stuck in the exact same logical dead end.
Oh, that makes sense.
So they might give one agent a prompt focusing on the database layer, another agent focuses on network latency, and they give slightly different starting data to the rest.
So you prevent them from sharing cognitive blind spots.
Exactly. You essentially have 10 independent AI brains exploring different branches of the solution tree at the exact same time. It's not just parallel computing, it's parallel thinking.
This self-building loop is fascinating as an internal Anthropic marvel, but it is aggressively spilling out into the broader world. It's radically altering software development for everyone.
Completely changing it.
Let's talk about productivity metrics. Internally at Anthropic, engineer productivity has jumped by 150%.
And to ground that, consider Boris's background. Before Anthropic, he led code quality at Meta, overseeing Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp. Right. In an environment like Meta, if a dedicated engineering team spent a whole year optimizing workflows and got a 1% or 2% increase in developer productivity, they would celebrate that as a massive win.
Right.
So a 150% jump is simply unthinkable in traditional software engineering.
And some observers are saying 150% is conservative. Steve Yeag, a highly respected former Google engineer, claims an Anthropic engineer using these tools is currently averaging 1,000 times more productivity than a peak unassisted Google engineer.
1,000 times.
Right. A few years ago, we were debating if a 10x developer was a myth. Now we are seriously discussing the reality of a 1,000x developer.
And the consensus among the heavy hitters in the field is overwhelming. The people who literally architected the modern web are saying this.
Like Andreas Karpathy?
Yes, founding member of OpenAI. He popularized the term vibe coding. He openly admits his manual coding ability is noticeably atrophying because he relies on AI agents to execute his ideas. Ryan Dahl, the creator of Node.js, explicitly said, "The era of humans writing code by hand is over."
And DHH, the Ruby on Rails creator, called manual coding a luxury that'll become a lost art, like cursive. Even Linus Torvalds, the creator of Linux, is vibe coding now.
It's everywhere.
So for you listening, if syntax generation is becoming a commoditized utility, the job market has to shift. If companies don't need people to physically type code, what are they even hiring for?
The value shifts entirely away from memorizing syntax and moves toward systems architecture, product taste, and the ability to orchestrate these agents.
Why, Combinator is already adapting to this, right?
Yes, the biggest startup accelerator in the world. They fundamentally changed their technical interviews. They now ask candidates to submit raw session transcripts from Quad Code or similar agents.
They want to see the logs.
Yeah. They don't care if you remember the specific syntax for a database query. They want to see the recording of you trying to build a feature alongside an autonomous agent.
What are they looking for in the transcript?
Navigational skills. Can this person steer the agent? Do they know how to check the system logs when the AI breaks something? Can they logically course correct the model when it goes down the wrong path? They are testing for systems thinking, not typing speed.
So the baseline expectation for this year is that writing code simply gets solved. The title software engineer morphs into something closer to systems builder.
That is the immediate baseline, yeah. But the upper bound of this trajectory leads us to a threshold called ASL4.
AI safety level 4.
Correct. ASL4 is the theoretical stage where AI models achieve the capability to recursively improve their own architectures.
They do the research to make themselves smarter.
Without human intervention, yes. And this brings up a critical point about Anthropic. They have a notoriously intense, rigorous safety culture,
which some people criticize as a bureaucratic hurdle that slows them down.
They do. But within the context of agentic AI, building the most capable coding agent and maintaining strict safety protocols are the exact same mission. Think about it. If you are deploying an autonomous entity that can write its own code, read file systems, and access the open internet, ensuring it operates safely isn't an HR initiative. It is the fundamental engineering requirement for a self-improving loop.
That reframes safety entirely. It's not about holding the model back. It's about making sure the steering wheel actually works when the car is driving itself at 1,000 miles an hour.
Exactly.
So, to synthesize the journey we've been on today, we started by looking at a simple terminal tool quietly responsible for 4% of GitHub. Unpacking that revealed a profound structural shift from Web 1.0 artificial intelligence to autonomous Web 2.0 executors.
Yeah.
So whether you are a developer, a manager, or just a professional trying to navigate the modern workplace, the core capability of the future will not be executing the manual labor. It will be your ability to describe your intent, orchestrate multiple agents, and expertly steer the final outcome.
Cloud Code is really just the first major beachhead here. The shift to brain first, hands second, proves AI is an executor now, not just a search engine. You give the objective, the model handles the execution.
Which leaves us with a final lingering thought to ponder as we wrap up. We talked about Andreas Karpathy admitting that his ability to manually write code is physically atrophying because he delegates to AI.
Right.
If this agentic paradigm inevitably spreads into your specific industry, whether you're in corporate law, financial modeling, graphic design, or project management, what core manual human skills of yours will you happily allow to atrophy? And on a broader scale, what happens to the resilience of our society when the experts forget how to do the very things they are directing the AI to do?